Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you and we magnify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we magnify you, glorify you. We thank you that our King has spread a great table. And you've called us to it, Lord, and you've called us among the nations to serve this supper. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this call. I thank you that, Lord, that we will heed the call, that we will not reject the call. We refuse to make excuses of why we cannot come and why we cannot serve and why we cannot go in to receive the bread of heaven. Father, we thank you. Give us this bread. Give us this bread to break to the nations of the world and all people groups, and every tribe and every kindred and every tongue and every circumstance. God, give us this bread. This has already been delivered to the church, but cause us, Lord, to be made worthy. Cause us to be made worthy, Lord. Lead us. Lead us in purgings. Lead us in truth. Lead us in the way that causes us to be able to come to this supper with no excuses, to lay down every agenda, give ourselves over, that we not only are healed ourselves, but that we become those who are the servants, and that we are able to give this bread. The blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, and thousands, we will follow you. Teach us to become the fishers of men. Teach us to become the fishers of men. Teach us to become the fishers of men. Lord, here are our nets. We lay them down, never to pick them up again. We abandon every net, everything that ties us in to the world. Father, give us this bread. And when we have done all that we are supposed to do, then we call ourselves unprofitable servants. We are servants not for hire, but we are servants that have fallen in love with our King. And we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you and glorify you. And we thank you for all of these, your family, my family, all together. Lord, we bless you. We praise and magnify you. We thank you so much for Jesus. So much for Jesus. So much for Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Would you say this with me? I say that Immokalee is in revival. I say that this region of Florida is in revival. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, Demoniacs are set free. Maimed are made whole. And thousands and thousands, even tens of thousands, are born again in this revival. Amen. Glory. Sunday was really wonderful. At least it was for me, and I think it was for you. Just a real wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit here. We got out a little earlier than we normally do, but there was nothing else to do but just sit and be saturated for the time being after the Lord came with an exhortation. I'm still in awe of, personally myself, of the truth that is in that simple exhortation of traveling, making it all the way to the pool of Siloam, going the full 1,000 yards or whatever distance it really was, but it was a good distance. And you talk about social media. Jesus had his own. He knew how to gather the crowds. He knew how to, when such a thing as technology and Facebook was not around, he knew how to bring the people together and knowing that there was miracles that were taking place. You see a guy meandering from a place, a point of where he had received a word, and then going all the way, however long that took him, and we demonstrated that Sunday, or the Holy Spirit did, with mud on his face, and then maybe hours later to return. And the propaganda from that, people watching him go and people watching him return at a time when the city was bustling, had a tremendous effect. And there was a lot of people that saw the testimony of the healing power of God. And that whole thing came off of an understanding of what Jesus said, or what he asked really was, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? And that faith that he was talking about was described in a parable, but the whole parable described a tenacity, a stick-to-itness, a willingness to keep going forward against all odds. And this is really what revival is made out of. It really is. It's about 95% empowered grace and elbow grease, and about 5% sometimes feelings. I love when we feel His presence. And I love it when I feel His presence in my private time. But if I weighed out the seemingly non-presence times and non-feeling times against the times where I felt or even saw the productivity of what was taking place, if I was waiting for that to take place, we all would have quit a long time ago. But we are people that are being taught by the Holy Ghost, and we're understanding things by the Spirit of God like we've never understood before. And I really appreciated what everybody said, but one thing that comes to mind right now is what Homer said by the Spirit is, let's come and get our briefings. I like the way he said that. Briefings is a good word. And it's like the Holy Spirit is continually trying to bring us into a place where He aligns us up as a body. And not only this body, but the people that are listening and the people that are watching. And He's doing that for a purpose. Everything is line on line. It's precept on precept. And if we study hard, we're going to make an A. Amen. If we study real hard and stick to it, praise the Lord. What happens as a result of enduring prayer and not looking at the signs around you, things will happen. Things definitely do happen. Last Wednesday night, Just to give you a report of what prayer, that prayer works. I gave a request of a relative of mine, a niece that has been estranged from her family, a young lady in her mid-20s. Many of you know her. I called her name out last week. I won't do that again right now. But she was raised around Christianity and spent a lot of time in my home growing up with my daughters. And so she understood things about God and accepted Christ at an early age. And I think she was also filled with the Spirit at an early age. Went through a very tough marriage and had a couple of wonderful children that are still small. And after the breakup of the marriage, her life began to disintegrate. And a lot of things went amiss, and she began to become addicted to drugs and eventually become addicted to the worst kind of drugs. I mean, the worst of the worst. And anything and everything. And then eventually became very just separated from not only us, but actually her children. It was necessary for her children to be actually taken. And she hasn't seen her children in over a year. And nobody knew, really, at different times for weeks and perhaps months on end where she was at. And this was not, nothing like this had really ever happened in our family. And I'm not boasting, I'm just saying we weren't used to that. None of my nieces and nephews, immediate family, had ever had such a problem. And every once in a while we would get reports occasionally where she might be and where she might be staying. And it was tough. It was very difficult for her mother especially, and for her little children. Very difficult for her little children. And still to this day, she hasn't seen them, and it's been over a year. But last week, on a Wednesday night, we made a very bold declaration of faith, and I ask you to please pray for this individual, that nobody knew where she was at, basically, and at most of the time, and that she was not had not been ready to turn her life around, and the situation was just getting worse and worse and worse. And where we knew that she was at times, it was going to be possible for someone to take her life or for her to take her own life or just OD, just mainly because there wasn't a moment of the day that she was clean. And so we prayed last Wednesday night. You remember that. And just in 1 week's time, incredible, absolutely incredible miracle has taken place. Lucille Darby, which many of you have met, has been here oftentimes. It was a very close personal friend of my mom, has recently, in the last 6 months, moved to Georgia to be part of a ministry there, of a young women's ministry for those that are just like my niece in the situation that she's in. And the desperate, the girls that are out on the streets, and the girls that are out for hire, and the girls that are out there just really messed up. And she had been praying along with us for this particular individual. And lo and behold, isn't this amazing? She called and said, "I need help. Would you please? I'm ready to come home. I'm ready to come home." And that was very, very different. There have been many times we'd tried to get her to come home, and she wouldn't come home. And as of tonight, she is at that facility in Georgia. Hallelujah. And we'll be there over the next 7 months, and they put her right away into a system where that not only can she be, become clean and healed every day. They're in prayer every day. They're in Bible studies every day. They're just, just working these girls and loving them. That's the main thing, just loving them. And And they put them right back into a place where the courts recognizes this particular ministry, and she will be eventually reconciled with her children once again. So isn't that wonderful? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's one. But that's through prayer. And that's, he's worthy to receive praise. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, Sunday, I ask you to pray for John Myers' wife, Jeannie Myers. And I explained to you the desperateness of the situation and how that we had prayed several times, lifted her up and stood, and I'd put it in the prayer chain for many of you to pray for her. Jeannie had had an aneurysm a few weeks ago, only maybe 50, late 40s. I don't know her, but her husband testifies of her relationship with Christ, and I know that he is born again and spirit-filled, Catholic, and I'm sure of that because I've talked to him enough. And even last week, he did not really realize that he could pray in tongues anytime that he wants to. And he was just thrilled at that revelation and started that process. And so we prayed Sunday. Remember that great prayer that God came in here and graced us with. And Sunday night, I got a call from him, and that was just before the holiday. And John is a very, very thorough, and he's a very smart guy, and he just went through the whole thing with me. This was after we had prayed and rehearsed where she was at and what had happened, and much of what I had told you, that she had had the aneurysm, and then after they actually did the cranial surgery. You know, that's tough. You know, cranial surgery is they remove your skull, they go into your brain, and they try to fix the aneurysm that has been there. And then she had, the doctor said, really, she, you know, an individual can't go more than 20 minutes at any given time without blood flow to the brain. Well, they had to cut her off in increments of 5 minutes, four times 5 minutes each, to try to get in to repair that place or those places. And so it was very dicey. It was very sketchy, you might say, that she might come out of that with brain damage. And then later, about a week later, she suffered another major stroke, and they went in and tried to, I don't know if it was a cranial operation, but they kept doing other procedures, and he found out that the blood flow to her brain was actually cut off more than 60 minutes at one given time. He just said Sunday night, you know, that they had really, he was trying to speak as best as he possibly can. You understand, this guy is not around what you and I are accustomed to hearing, as in word and in teaching doctrine. But he was basically saying that he was giving her to the Lord, and that he did not know what to do other than that, and that the doctors had said, we have done all that we can do. There's no other procedures. We can't continue to do what we're doing because there's nothing else to do. We've gone to the limit. And at that point, all her systems, it seemed to be, it wasn't verbatim how he said this, but the description was that she was shutting down. He was discouraged that a week or so prior to the operations, at least she could open her eyes, and at least she was kind of following them in the room. And after all of these procedures, there was really no eye openings. She was just there, and really not functioning. Once they took the breathing tube out Sunday, then. The worst part of the forecasted stroke appeared, the paralysis in the face, the right side, and everything that looked possibly bad. And this was right after we had prayed. And so I just did my best to console him and then said, I'd like to pray for you over the phone. And he said, sure. And he was driving home, and I prayed for him. And then the next day, of course, was the holiday. Labor Day. And, you know, I talked to his partner, which is my son-in-law, and I didn't step out of faith. I just said, these are some things that you need to prepare for, and helping him. And I did mention if things, because I realize that this man is not in the position where we're at. Although I did say this when I was talking to my son-in-law, I said, look, we have, at the best, even when people are agreeing, we've seen them go home. So we're not putting any fault to anyone, but we understand where he's at and him not understanding the position of faith that we normally stand in. So I was still standing, but I heard a message. I'll tell you what, let me advertise this. We're going to talk about faith here a little bit and where we're going with signs and wonders and what we're supposed to be expecting. Gary Carpenter started a new series last Wednesday night, and I believe the first message is called The Power of Authority. And that was the last Wednesday in August, and I listened to that just the day before, and that was on Tuesday that I listened to that. Gary, every once in a while, will text me and tell me, hey, this might be one you need to listen to. So I did, and man, it was just very, very powerful, and it just continued to, and I encourage you, listen to that, and it starts a series, and there will be more after that, and I think he did one Sunday. But it was just that place of what I gathered from myself personally as I was hearing this place of authority that we have and that we're supposed to be standing in. It reiterated that place of boldness to say, unrelenting, this is where our stand is and we'll have no different. We choose to have no different. And so I went back personally into that posture of what we had prayed Sunday and was postured myself in an unrelenting position to say, even against you know, what he is saying, because the last that he said is, he said, look, what I'm planning on doing and what we're doing is she's basically shutting down. And again, that wasn't his exact words, but that was where he was headed. He said, the doctors can't do anything else. We've called in hospice, and they're going to come and get her, and I'm resolved to know that she's going to be with the Lord, you know, very soon. And as I said, I prayed, and then for him. That was Sunday night, and then as I heard that message again, as I heard that message the first time and took that stand of faith and said, this is what we prayed, and didn't hear anything else back from him, and knowing that she was really getting close to going. Candy and I were up early this morning, and we were out in front of the house sitting on the bench, and I got a call from John, and of course I answered it and left him on speaker because Candy's aware of the situation. He said, can I talk to you for a moment? I said, sure. And he reiterated and rehearsed what had been up to this point in her proceedings health-wise and how that they had called in Hope Hospice and basically said, this is it, it's over, and how that he had become real discouraged because prior to so much of what they procedures that they had done, at least she was awake and kind of responding, but he hadn't seen that in the last week or so. And so he said they called in Hope Hospice, and they're ready to transport her over, and I don't know if they got her already over there at the new facility. They did get her over the new facility, but I'm trying to remember if what I'm about to tell you started prior to. Anyway, just in the last 24 hours, they get her over there, and she wakes up, and her eyes open, and she's following people around the room, and she's trying to respond to him, and she's... he's asking her questions, and she's turning her head yes or no, I guess, or whatever. And he sat beside her and put his hand on her, and she began to rub his arm and let, you know, him know that she was responding to him being there. And this was a woman that was basically lifeless with having no ability to open her eyes, and he was saying that she's going home soon. And so as a result of that, her waking up, and he called me and he said, now I need to, he goes, I need to meet with you. I need to meet with you. And he goes, I need to find out. Basically, he sees that it looks like she's going to live. And he says, I need to find out what do I need to do? You know, basically, what can you instruct me to do? I said, I'll meet you. So very early in the morning, I'll be meeting him at his office in Fort Myers to sit down and talk to him. And you know, I'm going to have Dave's book in my hand. I'm going to turn that over to him. And I'll have a list of scriptural confessions that I will put together and put her name in there and begin to show him and teach him how to stand for his wife. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So prayer works. Prayer works. These are just two miracles that have taken place this week, that because we have chosen to believe God. Amen. Let's just talk for a few minutes tonight about people of signs. That's what we are, signs and wonders. And that's who we are. Turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Hallelujah. Let's just call this the signs people, okay? Let's look at Mark chapter 16 and we're going to look at verse 15. And this is the last words of Jesus prior to his ascension. And this is what he is saying to his disciples. And of course, this is what he's saying to us. In verse 15, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now let's just stop right there for a moment, because one of the things that we have enjoyed around here, present tense, is a scripture that we presently or recently discovered that's always been there, and that is Matthew 24 and 14. And Jesus said, "And this gospel shall be preached unto all the nations, and then shall the end come." Well, what does that mean to us? It means everything that we discovered that this gospel is. This gospel is more than just words. It is words. It is doctrine. It is truth. But in that truth is everything that Jesus has manifested himself to the church to be. And that is deliverer. That is help. That is healer. That is everything that he demonstrated on a continual basis and everything that he empowered his apostles and his disciples to do. And when Jesus said, "This gospel shall be preached," we understand this, that we have got a foundational scripture that says, look, before he comes back, we're going to receive, if we stay steady and keep doing what we're supposed to do, we're going to receive with the rest of anybody else that's staying steady in the Word of God, we're going to receive this outpouring in Jesus' name. And this outpouring is going to be ones with signs and wonders. It's going to be one with power. It's going to be one with demonstration. It's going to be one that people will look at and as prophecy by Pastor Dave said that even the finest minds will look at this and say, without a doubt, that God is in this. God absolutely is in this. Now Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents," and that's not talking about taking up snakes, okay? We've taught that before. That's spiritual things that we're going to be able to take control over, the spiritual darkness of this world. "They'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall do what? Recover. Is that supposed to be what we should be seeing in the church on a continual basis? That is supposed to be what should be happening, not some of the time, but all of the time. The two testimonies that I just gave, we all gave God glory, and we still give God glory. And I know that there's a fight in front of John, this man that I was talking about. We're going to equip him with what he needs to have. And we're going to believe that she totally comes through this thing and totally receives where one day she's standing here testifying to us. But I'm telling you, those are supposed to be the testimonies that should be happening on a continual basis, on an absolute continual basis. And hitherto for, if you want to use that word, up till now, it seems like we've lost more than we've won on those kinds of situations. But there is a pivotal point in the Spirit, and I'm telling you, that pivotal point is happening now in Jesus' name. When now, I'm not talking about this service, I'm talking about this era of time that we're living in because of, first, the doctrine that we are receiving from above. Pastor Dave prophesied or said years ago, he said, there's going to come first a revival of doctrine and then a revival of signs and wonders. The first has to be laid because it has been, through the centuries, pulled out from underneath the church. And the church at large has gotten very melancholy, very laid back. It's become very acceptable to just let things be as they were or are, and just let people die, really, just to let people die. Not because people were totally insensitive, but they just didn't know or could not take the stand that they really, really have something to say about that. The church has something to say about life or death. The church has something to say about miracles. And Jesus said here that these signs shall follow them that believe. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, this is verse 19, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Well, I know where Jesus is at, don't you? And they... Who's they? Those that heard. They went forth and did what? Preached everywhere. Well, what do you think they were preaching? The gospel. The gospel that was demonstrated to them. The Lord working, now this is what my King James says, with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, what I want to show you is this. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. First of all, we see here the commission. Okay, they call this the Great Commission. Go ye, and if you'll go, these signs shall follow. I promise you that if you'll go, these signs shall follow you, okay? So we got the commission, and then we got the promise. I'll be there. Your Father will be there. And then at the end, you've got the confirmation to that promise. The Bible says here that the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. But notice something here. It's vitally important. It really is. Now, the Lord was with them. And the Lord was working with them. But the word them in the Greek is not there. Now, does your Bible have an italicized there? That means that word should not be there. It means that somebody put it there because they thought they wanted to help you. But if you take that word out, then it confirms what it's really saying. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Hallelujah. What was he working with? He was working with the word. What was he confirming? He was confirming the Word. He was working with and he was confirming the Word of God. Now that's vitally important. Why? Because that reiterates what Pastor Dave said years ago, that what's going to happen first is there's going to be a doctrinal revival first. That's going to be the ground. See, look, we're promised that we're going to be part of, or we say that we're going to be part of, because we know that the promise is there, that before the end happens, there is going to come a revival that is going to duplicate or replicate the original outpouring. That's what we're that's what we see from the Word of God. This gospel, the one that Jesus preached, and the one that he preached was one of demonstration. That one will take place, and then the end will come. Now, we say that we're going to be part of that. But the reason why we believe that we're going to be a part of that is because immediately after Jesus commissioned them and promised them, then there was the confirmation. But the confirmation to what he said would take place was based on this. God went with them and was confirming his word with signs and wonders. Listen, we can't get off of his word and expect the signs and wonders. You're not going to get into greasy, grimy grace doctrine and expect signs and wonders to take place. You're not going to get in promiscuous all this and all that and teach all kinds of crazy things and have the kind of revival that God wants to give to the latter church. But by his grace, not by our strength, but by his grace and by the teacher that stands beside us and is living on the inside of us, if we continue to pray the mysteries and continue to diligently seek after him, then he's going to come and continually confirm his word. Continually confirm his word. What we've got to do is preach his word. All we've got to do is line up, and he's coming. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Hallelujah. The word signs means this. We had this in another series that we recently did, but I'll remind you, the word sign, semeno, okay? You guys remember that? You guys are incredible. It's an indication, especially ceremonial, supernatural, miracle, sign, token, or wonder. The one thing that I got out of it, the first phrase listed is an indication. Hallelujah. Signs are an indication. An indication of what? An indication that you are teaching truth. Because if he's going to confirm his word, and God works with you, and signs happen as a result of your, not just the pulpit ministry, not just the fivefold, but out there, do you? Again, can I get this over to you? It is God's best that we come in here every week with so many testimonies of miracles that are taking place and have taken place as a result of us just being out there in the world. That's where this thing is headed. The signs and wonders are not necessarily all going to take place in here. In fact, that will be a small volume compared to what's going to take place out there if we follow the Word and if you follow Him and if we continue to go into Him. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We must, again, take on the ownership of believing the Word that Jesus spoke to the church. Can you say amen? We've got to own that. We've got to believe that. What ownership? That the signs of the believer will follow our lives. We are called to be a supernatural people. The indicator in these last days will be both, the doctrine that we speak and preach and the signs that we demonstrate. One of the earmarks of becoming saturated in who we truly are, that means really starting to believe who we are, is to become emboldened in what we know and what we do. Emboldened, in other words, filled with boldness. Absolute boldness. The boldness that is not manipulated by self, but the boldness that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 3. We've got to look at this. This is familiar in what we talk about. It's just not familiar in what so much we do and live, but it's going to be a major part of it. These men lived with an understanding, and the first church lived with an understanding of what Jesus said, signs and wonders are supposed to follow you. In other words, it should be a developed lifestyle that turns into a mentality that just expects it to take place. Are y'all understanding? We have not got this to the best of us. And I don't know that I'm the best of us. I know you see me standing up here. And so you may think, well, there's our leader. But to the best of us, this has not become, as of yet, in the spirit, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. In other words, we know it here, and some of it has trickled down. Some of it is coming up, and we're getting some of our results. But it just, well, how do you know it's not die hard in us yet? Well, because they're still dying. They're still dying. And I pray, and they die, and they have died. Well, what did they have to do with it? Oh, just be quiet. I wanted to say shut up. But I didn't use that bad word, did I? Just be quiet. It's not become. To these guys, they had seen the prototype, and they had watched him, and as soon as they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they just said, we've seen it. We've lived it. He never laid his hands on anybody that didn't get healed. And listen, it's going to be trepidatious. It's going to be kind of a little scary. It's going to get kind of scary in the sense of like, can we do this? Yes, we can. Yes, we can become emboldened by the Holy Ghost. Yes, we can begin to move out and expect signs and wonders. And when we get the calls, like, okay, they're did you pray? Yes. And the glory fell. Yes, but we're having to unplug. We're having to unplug them. That's about when we start trying to figure out what we need to do. There is coming a generation, and we might as well say we are that generation, embolden ourselves in this and saying when they say the plug is being pulled, that we say, uh-uh, it's still not being pulled. And then your mind goes back to everybody that you've lost. I don't care. We have got to continually, every living example or every example of the past that does not line up with this word is nothing that we can put in our psyche or in our spirit to say, this is who we are. Only this. He confirmed the word. How many have you lost? I don't know. But if it doesn't matter how many they have stacked up behind us. Look at the faith of Peter and John here. I love it. I love how these guys, what was on them. And this is in the midst of the outpouring. Now Peter and John, verse 1 of 3, chapter 3, went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go in to the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now, just stop for a second. Jesus is gone now. But these boys are just freshly filled with the Holy Ghost. They just come out of the oven, man. And they have all faith. Or they are just filled with knowing that the Jesus just left and said, look, the works that I do, you're going to do also. These signs are going to continue to follow you just like they followed me. So go. Go. And here they are. You don't think that when they got to the Gate Beautiful, and I don't know where that guy Sunday's exhortation about the guy that went to the Pool of Siloam, he was just outside of the temple. He was somewhere on that road, one of those avenues. He might have been close to where this guy was sitting at. It didn't matter. You don't think that the recollection, immediately the Holy Ghost didn't take Peter and John back to watching Jesus when he healed them? When he healed that man that particular day, when he healed the guy when he was coming out of Jericho? What was his name? Bartimaeus? Here we are again. The Holy Ghost brings, hey, wait a minute, I can do this. My master did this. And the word says, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said unto him, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking, praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. They wondered. Now that's a sign and a wonder right there. Listen. But when the Holy Ghost, these guys were so saturated in their thoughts. And what we are, see here is your, what was the word that he used Sunday? Briefing. Here's your briefing. Okay. Change your thoughts. Who you are, okay? You are not who you think you are when you came in here. Do you understand that? I don't care how much you came in with any loads. I don't care how tired you felt. I don't care how discouraged you might have felt. I don't care. Listen, what the enemy does is he is continually trying to get us off of that and onto ourself. When you wake up, see, God wants to change this whole thing and make you understand that you're supposed to be a signs and wonders people. We're supposed to be a supernatural bunch. And the word says here that when Peter saw him, that he was basically, he became emboldened. He said, what you're asking for, I don't have, but I'll tell you what I do have. This is what I have. And he reached down and he pulled him up. Listen. There's going to come a time, and I pray that it now is, that instead of walking by them, we don't do this, but instead of walking by them, they're sitting over there, you know, in the mall or the grocery store. I'd like to. There is coming. Now don't get me wrong. There's still going to be the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You're still going to have to depend on him. I'm not saying run down. I don't know that you'll ever get where you just run down through the mall just grabbing everybody. But there is going to be a place that it becomes bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, that when he says that we do without hesitation. What if this doesn't take place? The what ifs are killing us in the spirit. The what-ifs are causing us to be shy of what we're supposed to be. We begin to think about it, kick what-if to the curb. And when he says to do it, go over there. If you stand there with egg on your face, if they die after you pray, no matter what happens, we are a people of signs and wonders. And it's time that when he says that we do without hesitation and we say, okay, he's the one that's going to confirm his word with signs and wonders. Get up. Get up. Well, I've seen them die. I have too. But that cannot be our history. That's got to be our past. It cannot be our future, I should say. That is our past. Hallelujah. What if? Turn with me. I like this illustration. Turn with me to Daniel. This is an Old Testament illustration. Hallelujah. I'll tell you where I find it here in Daniel. Daniel, I had a note on it. Daniel chapter 3. Look at this old story, but it happened. It really did happen. How many of you know that these aren't just fairy tale stories? They really happened. Okay? This is the one of the... They commonly call them the three Hebrew children. They were grown men. They were actually grown-ups, and they were actually those that were presiding over different provinces or different places in Babylon. And it says here, I'm not gonna read all the story. I'm just going to tell you that what you already possibly know, that this King Nebuchadnezzar, even after he had been dealt with by God and even after Daniel had done some things with him, he became very prideful and he lifted up himself and he built this, you know, huge graven image of himself and he brought the nations together and he said, look, anytime that the orchestra plays, I want this sea of humanity. You've seen those seas of humanity like when you'd see... the different pilgrimages to Mecca where all the people would be, you know, bowing down. And he said, when certain things happen, I want everybody to worship this image of me. Well, it just so happens that these three young men refused to do so. And, of course, we understand how many know the story. They eventually were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. But let's look at verse 13 of 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded... to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought them, these men, before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at the time that you hear, and he names all of these instruments, cornet, flute, harp, saxophone, psaltery, decimal, all kinds of music, that you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. In other words, it'll go good for you. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, just stop right there for just a second. He brought them and was going to give them a reprieve. And basically said, look, I'm very angry. Anybody that doesn't worship, you've already heard they're going to be burnt alive. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to consider this. I'm going to give you an opportunity to think about it. And the next time it happens, to commit yourself to being obedient to it, and it'll go well for you. And the Bible says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, basically they answered immediately and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful. In other words, we don't have to think about this. We don't even have to think about it. It's not necessary for us to stop and to think about it. See, this is where the church is coming to. All the thought of can we do this or can't we do it or what consequences are we going to suffer if we do it? And he said to them, they said to him, I like this, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. I like this. I like this because sometimes people say there's no buts. Here's a good but. Here's a good but. But if not, in other words, if he doesn't, and we just get burned alive if we're charcoal, but if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Hallelujah. That's the resolve of the Signs and Wonders Church. Because we're scared of the what ifs. We are really scared of that there's something that hangs over our head. What if he doesn't back me up in this? What if I'm left? What if they die? What if this happens? Or what if I get in trouble in some way? Listen, they said we're not even going to, their boldness was this. We're not even going to consider this matter. God will be with us. But here's the bottom line. Even if he doesn't deliver us and we get burned up and we go to heaven as a result of it, we're still not going to bow down. We're still not. In other words, they went all the way to the end and dismissed the fear of what's going to happen if this doesn't happen. They said, look, it doesn't matter. Even if he doesn't, if God doesn't deliver us, we're going in. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to, God just said, go over there and pray for that person. God just said, I don't know what's going to happen. What if? Oh, shut up, what if? Kick what if to the curb. Go over there, and if you have to walk away, and it looks like you're the biggest idiot in the world, you're not going to know that whether or not he would have backed you up unless you respond in obedience to what he said. The days of saying, because I've done it, all of it. When we get home, God forgive me. Send somebody else to pray for them. Make it another day. Give me another chance in the future. Give me another chance. We're going to become so emboldened that there's not going to be any God forgive me anymore. We're going to say, okay, if I look like an idiot and he doesn't back me up, if he leaves me hanging, I'm going over there because the Holy Ghost said go over there. Amen. And I'm going to do what he said to do. Guess what? I'll bet you that he won't leave you hanging. Hallelujah. Nebuchadnezzar got up. He looked. He said, he didn't say my God, but he did. He might as well. He said, look, how many people did we throw in there? They said, three, O king. He said, I see four, and one of them is likened to the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will go with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn back over to the book of Acts. Because we're going to read that. What happened to those guys? What happened to Peter and John as a result? Well, as a result of them, we just read that just a moment ago. They reached down and he lifted this guy up. How many of you? Just, I can picture that when Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he just pulled him right up. He just pulled him. I'm sure that there was something inside of him. The Holy Ghost was on him. And like I said, I'm not trying to get you to just run rampant and just without leadership. But it's just like when Paul, and later in the book of Acts, perceived that the man that he was preaching to had faith, then Paul just acts on that. And if we're people of the leadership of the Holy Ghost, he's going to give us ample. We don't have to worry about broadcasting our seed. This ain't the day of, and never has been really, of knocking on doors. That don't get her done. The leadership of the Holy Spirit. While you're out there among them, if he knows that what if has been cast to the side in your life, and you'll say, okay, now Peter pulled this guy up, but that wasn't the end of it. He was healed, of course, but look what happens as a result. As the lame man in verse 11 says, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that was called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And or why look ye as so earnestly on us, as though by our own power and holiness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Now this is boldness. This is boldness. Not only is signs and wonders going to accompany us, but as a result of us, the political correctness that everybody's scared of is going to go. It's going to go. But along with it is going to be some real nifty persecution. Okay? If you like to be liked, you've got a sad... signs and wonders. If you like to be liked, signs and wonders are just not going to follow you. If you like people to like you, I mean all people to like you. I like people to like me. But if you like all people to like you, if you like your family, I don't want to say that to my family. At some point, you need to make somebody mad. At some point, you need to make somebody mad, not trying to make them mad, but giving them the truth. And Peter and them said, look, they got him healed. They got him healed. And they said, all the rest of them, and they're fixing to get saved. You know, sometimes the Holy Ghost anointing, the emboldening anointing of God, brings people together instead of, it'll bring people together that want the truth. And Peter said, y'all killed him. Y'all killed him. He didn't mess around. He just said, when Pilate wanted to let him go, all of y'all killed him. What kind of preacher is that? But denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto him. In other words, y'all traded the Lord of heaven for a murder and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Do you think Peter would have won the political correctness contest of nowadays? What would the pundits say about him? This man is rude. And it says, his name through the faith you've killed, and God has raised him from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yes or yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now, I just want to skip on down, because he continues to go, Peter. Okay, so they brought Peter and John before. They brought him before the rulers. Now, let's look at chapter 4. This is what I wanted you to see. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them and put them in a hold unto the next day, for it was not eveningtide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed in the number of the men. I mean, all this hard stuff that he was saying, about 5,000 got saved. The men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers, the elders, and the scribes, and Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he has been made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you all." Now, this is the same bunch of men that just killed Jesus. Do you understand that? Just not long ago, Peter's running from these guys and denying Christ. Now he's filled with the Spirit that brings signs and wonders. And he's not only not scared, he's telling them, "You bunch of killers, you crucified the Lord of heaven." And he's talking to the high priest. He's talking to the Sanhedrin. He's talking to all. Now he's, listen, signs and wonders are going to come again. And not only are they going to come again, but they're going to empower us to preach the gospel with boldness. Hallelujah. And that's what we need to believe right now. That's where we're at. No, don't take it on for next month or next year. He said, "This is the stone which was set at naught by the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be." Do you understand what he was talking to? It would be the equivalent, like if you were to put somebody that was basically with no college degree, just a hardworking, you know, middle class guy, you'd put them before our senators right now. I mean, that's the best, or in our president maybe, or a president. I'm not going to speak specifically, but in front of a president, in front of senators, in front of Congress, and they had done something so drastic as to do what these men had done, and now you are speaking to them with such a boldness that only heaven could supply that boldness. And the empowerment of that boldness leaves you without fear. It leaves you without, listen, what we're going to be in these last days and present tense as people of signs and wonders is fearless and have a daringness to say, "I dare to believe. I do not fear. I do not fear men, and I do not fear what if. I'm not going to fear the what if. And as a result of that, I am by the Spirit of God, I'm going to step out in a daringness, and whatever wherever this takes me, that's where I'm going to be." Hallelujah. It really comes down to a place of abandonment. It really does. Now, you got to die, but if you will go in there where he's at, and I'm not talking about a place where we just arrive, where angels are singing, and but I'm talking about if you just go in there, when he says, and you know he said, you're gonna abandon yourself and say, "Okay, I believe that it is going to follow me." And here's the deal: it didn't say that it was going to go in front of you. In other words, it'd be neat if it happens, and then I pray. Then for sure I got 100%. I'll only pray after it happens. Okay, you do something and then I'll go over there and pray. Let me see you working first. He said, the signs will do what? They'll follow. In other words, there has to be an abandonment. I hear the command, I hear the voice, I hear the Holy Spirit, and as a result of it, I move on that action, or I'm taking action. And as a result of that daringness, it is a daringness that'll come as a result of the boldness that's going to take place. Hallelujah. Is he taking us somewhere? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, that's enough for tonight. How many are ready to go get somebody? I guess lay hands.
Hallelujah. What's that? Candy says, I want to pray first. Now you do. Hallelujah. Let me just ask you to prepare yourself to give tonight. If you have something to give, we certainly appreciate it. And we're going to ask you to ask the Lord what that is right now and prepare that. And if you'll make that ready. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your word and to be in your presence. We ask you now to bless this time of giving and bless the people. Father, we thank you for a weekend that is coming, the very powerful Sunday service and what you're going to do on Sunday night with the young adults. We just begin to speak life into that service. And Lord, that you will continue to disciple each and every one of us and bring us into these briefings, Lord. And we just thank you for it. Bless now this time of giving, and we thank you for it in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. If you'll stand with me, if you have something tonight, please do not forget to bring it forward. And we thank you so much. God bless you. We will see you Sunday. Amen.